Good morning. A Friday morning. We're with our political observer, Alan Chartok. This morning, some stark headlines. The U.S. has launched a strike in Syria over the chemical attack. The United States fired 59 Tomahawk missiles at an air base in response to the Syrian government's chemical weapons attack that killed more than 80 civilians. Russia has called it a violation of international law. We're hearing from leaders, including Israel and other places, in support of this strike. They call it a limited strike. Alan, your thoughts this morning on this decision by President Trump?
Well, obviously, we now know why he has such an extraordinary military cabinet. Look, he put all of these generals in place, and now, despite his assertions for months pre-election and during the election that Putin was his friend, it turns out that he doesn't truly believe that. Let's face it, Syria is a client state of Russia, and Russia, of course, isn't happy. And one makes two, and sitting in Mar-a-Lago, of course, is the Chinese leader, Xi, and one wonders whether or not some of this isn't intended for him, because what Trump can do, I think the message is, in one place is something that he could do in another, namely North Korea. So this is a way in which the militaristic Trump becomes clear. Now, a lot of people like this because the images, of course, of babies and dead twins being held by a father and the rest have made worldwide headlines. And it is very difficult to say that Trump should not have done this. There will be those who do, but on points, my bet is that he becomes a winner here, a winner in that public opinion will probably support what he has done. At the same time this is happening, David, and we often talk about distraction here, the Supreme Court of the United States is going to go ahead, and from now on, Trump will get all of his appointments. And as he pointed out yesterday, there are many, many elderly people sitting on the Supreme Court, and it may well be, if he puts 40-year-olds on the court or 45-year-olds on the court, that he will forever, in our lifetime, certainly mine, have affected the third branch of government by doing this. So at the same time the Syrian thing is going on, the Supreme Court is being revolutionized. The court is now going to be a right-wing court for a long time to come. Chuck Schumer did what he could to draw attention to it. I think that the Democrats were right, that they should have threatened the filibuster. But of course, sooner or later, the Democrats will be in office. And when they are, they will have the same nuclear option that the Republicans have now done. There are many people who think this was a big mistake and that forever the Senate will be much closer to the sort of autocracy or oligarchy that exists in the House of Representatives. So I think the country will be changed forever.
The changing administration and Stephen Bannon specifically. We're reading this morning about this escalated feud with Jared Kushner and Bannon saying he was ruminating quitting for weeks.
Well, yeah, first of all, you don't quit that easily. And some of the big money behind Bannon is saying, don't do it. But some of the wags have been saying, the analysts have been saying, and this is quite right, you don't fire your son-in-law, you don't fire your daughter. Bannon is not supreme in this White House anymore, if he ever was. The kids are. And I think that Bannon is so off the mainstream in this country and so unpopular that he's a fairly easy sacrifice for the president to make. Remembering, of course, that Bannon is the guy who was the campaign brain and who is the one who got him into the White House. Bannon is now cut off badly, symbolically. And I think what they're going to do now is it's going to be death by a thousand cuts.
Interview in the New York Times with former U.S. Attorney for the Southern District, Preet Bharara, and he also spoke to a college crowd at Cooper Union, Allen, where he told the crowd he waited last month for Republican President Donald Trump to fire him because he thought that that's what Trump was good at, of course referencing The Apprentice.
Well, yeah, that's funny in a way, and not so funny in another. He promised Bharara that he would keep him. He didn't keep him. Obviously, we now know that the president kept calling Bharara, asked for his personal telephone number. Bharara gave it to him, but there are strict rules. You're not supposed to do that. But he did it anyway. And Bharara is now talking about the Trump administration as helter-skelter. I think that's a very good point. But Bharara, it seems to me, it's one of the hopes that New Yorkers have for high political office. And he is saying he's not born to run, something he told us and me when he came to the Lyndon Norris Auditorium. You know, you never say you're going to run until you run, because otherwise the whole thing is silly. So if there's a demand and if somebody pushes him, maybe he'll do that. But in the meantime, he was a man of tremendous courage when he was in office. And it's a shame to see a guy like that lost to the public discourse.